The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome along to the Racing Podcast. What an absolute privilege and honour it is to be joining producer, presenter extraordinaire Mark Walton on the Racing Pocket. I'm normally resigned to football and boxing, specials, talking about X Factor. I never get invited on this. I'm so delighted you've invited me on to talk about horses.
Welcome, welcome.
I've picked three races for tomorrow.
Yeah?
No, I haven't. Mark's going to do all that sort of stuff. I'm just going to guide you through by pushing faders up and down and talking about races. Teeing you up, basically. That's how this is going to work, isn't it?
Good.
So hello, everyone out there. Welcome along. We're going to build up to the racing on Tuesday, and there's plenty of it. Your team on Tuesday will be starting just after noon, so make sure you're with them. Stuart Beasley, Rory DeLaghi and Gareth Topham. We've got plenty to talk about in the meantime, though. Mark, we're going to look at three races that you've picked out very soon at Exeter. But first of all, the Monday jury. Been looking at the Racing Post this morning. Quite a lot came out of the weekend, to be fair.
Yeah.
First up, the first topic of conversation was surrounding the Gold Cup and who ran the best Gold Cup trial this weekend. Menorah, probably a lot of people's idea of the best one. What say you, Mark?
Yes.
Okay.
I like Menorah, and he did very well to win at the weekend, but his recent record at Cheltenham, he has won there in the past. He's won there three times in the past, in fact. But I just think he'll come up short in terms of the Gold Cup. I know the Hobbs team are in good form this year, which is a contributing factor to that. And it'd be interesting to see how he continues the season. For me, there were others that would be ranked above him and ones that didn't win out the weekend, in fact.
Yeah.
Takana Soy finished second behind Menorah. And it's the first time he stepped up to 3 miles. It was kind of a test the water situation where, see if he did stay. The ground was too quick for him. He stayed on all the way to the line. And he's improved from his first race to his second. If they decide to go Gold Cup route with him, I think he's still a contender. Given a bit of juice in the ground, I think he'll come good. But Holywell was probably the most impressive. Only managed to finish third at Carlisle on Sunday. But that trip was too short. The ground too slow, he wants a bit of a quicker surface. And the fact that he took so long to warm over fences last year, his first three or four runs, he took a while to really get into top gear. And then in the spring, he came good and he was very impressive. He's 2 for 2 at the Cheltenham Festival. I think they'll be relatively pleased with his trial. So from the weekend, I'd say probably just Holywell over Takana Soy for me, but we do see Q Card running on Tuesday, of course, so it might change all again.
Probably will, yeah. Another good performance at the weekend was Sign of Victory. Talking about it as a potential champion hurdle horse, I know listening to William Hill Radio and just listening to people in the office talking about it, looked fantastic in the paddock. Probably had a little bit in hand as well. It's got a long way to go. I mean, it's still only racing off 1.39. Needs a lot more than that to be considered, you know, one of the top horses in the country.
Yeah, exactly. A good start, very impressive performance. He hacked round. He won on the bridle. I'm surprised he even knew he'd been in a race afterwards. He was one of the easiest winners you'll see on the day. Very, very impressive. I think the plan is to send him to the Ladbroke Hurdle in December. If he wins that, then maybe you can start considering for the champion hurdle, but not yet. Very impressive. Definitely workable off of his current mark, but he does need to improve, you know, £20, £30 to be considered a champion hurdle horse. So impressive, one to follow, maybe not champion hurdle just yet.
Yeah. The Breeders' Cup was fantastic. I know you worked hard on it over the weekend, getting all the interviews and everything. The guys were on air till the early hours in the UK, of course. Toast of New York, one of the toasts of the meeting, of course. I think this is a no-brainer in a sense, Mark. The question is, do you take the horse to Europe, bring it to Europe and race on turf where the record's pretty poor, or do you continue and keep taking the dirt dollar?
Why would you change your mind?
Why? I mean, how much did they earn? 540,000?
Yeah, for finishing second, yeah. And it wasn't far away from being a winner as well.
Yeah. You just go to Dubai and get more money, wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah, he won on the card in Dubai last year. He's proven no end that he handles the dirt surface. Mm. Give him a crack at the Dubai World Cup. The prize money there is ridiculous. I think it's 10 million $1,000, I think it is, over there. And his record on the all, well, artificial surfaces, all weather and dirt and so on, is 2-1-1-2, whereas his record on turf is nowhere near that good. If you've got a horse that's capable of running on dirt, keep him running on dirt.
Yeah,
he's run a blinder in the classic, and I think he's exciting in terms of a bit of globe trotting with him. I think they're campaigning brilliantly well over in Santa Anita. The stuff on Twitter, the Toast Cam, and stuff like that. It was very involving for us Europeans that normally wouldn't have much of a chance of cheering a European horse home in the classic. So keep him to dirt and give us a different angle over here to follow a horse. And of course, you prize money, and you might win one of them, and then. Well,
yeah. I mean, it seems ludicrous to even suggest that there's bother coming to Europe. Away from the Breeders' Cup, there's lots of good racing going on. A lot of people enjoyed the Weatherby meeting. Anything else catch your eye particularly this weekend?
Well, yeah, one horse really caught my eye. Aurore d'Estraval, who's a mare from a filly from the John Quinyard. I spoke to Sean before the season had started, just trying to get a line on some of the runners in his yard, and he told me that Aurore d'Estraval was the one they were really looking forward to. They expected to see her win maybe some nice handicaps or some lower graded races, if that makes sense, before Christmas, and then turn into a grade one animal after Christmas. And I know that they're considering the mare's race at Cheltenham, which is now a grade one this season, and the way she won on Saturday, she was very impressive. I know it wasn't necessarily the greatest race, but she looked really exciting, and Aurore d'Estraval for me is a filly to follow this year.
Interesting. Anything else to pick out from the weekend? Is that it? Are we done? Happy with that?
Yeah, I'm done if you're done.
Yeah, I'm absolutely anything, fine. Yeah. Let's look forward to Tuesday's racing. Mark's picked out three races from Exeter, the 145, the 215 and the 315. Should we do it in chronological order?
It would make most sense.
That's the way
sense.
They usually race these races, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I've seldom seen it where they do the 415 first. It'd be daft.
It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? You wonder where he stood.
This is the Bathwick Tyres Plymouth Novices Hurdle, 2 mile and one. 16 runners in this one as we record this one, Mark. Hello, George. Decent record of late. Won two of the last three anyway, and a third place and a second place finish. Second place finish for Hello, George. Looks an obvious favourite. What are you looking at in this race?
Yeah, I started with Hello, George. Finished third on his debut in a bumper at Aintree last year, then improved on that to finish second at Chepstow, and then got off the mark in bumpers at Sandown at the back end of last year. The form of that looks pretty good. There's been winners out of that race. The second and third have subsequently won. And then he made a nice reappearance on his hurdling debut when winning at Exeter over this course and distance. He won by 4.5 lengths. Very good start to hurdling. The Philip Hobbs yard are in fantastic form, as I've already mentioned. And basically you've got course form on your side, you've got experience on your side, and you've got potential on your side with Hello George. So I think he's a worthy favourite, and I think he's going to be quite hard to peg back if he improves again from that run. There are others to mention in the race, though. There's Jolly Allen, who made a winning debut at Wincanton last year, and then went to the Bunchestown Champion Bumper, which is obviously a very high class race. Finished sixth, beaten quite a long way, but that was only his second start. Goes over hurdles today for the first time. I'm just concerned maybe that he'll need the experience, but he's an exciting enough prospect. King's Tempest, similar things can be said about him. He won a Warwick bumper on his debut, won by 2¾ lengths, and still green on that occasion. So he's a year older, he's likely to have matured a little bit, but he's not had much racing, and whether you're sticking a hurdle in front of him now, might just need the run as well. Warren Greatrix's yard is in okay form, and the other one I looked at was Setlist, who was third on hurdle debut at Kempton, finished behind My Wigwam Are Yours and T for Two, who are more experienced hurdlers. That form probably stands out, so I think if Setlist is a decent price, maybe could be the each way call in the race. But I'm quite excited about Hello George. I think he could make up into quite a nice novice hurdler so far, and probably, I know it's boring going with a favourite, but I think Hello George is the one I'd side with.
The 215, Vix Technology Halden Gold Cup Chase. It's a grade two race, and what a race this is, Mark, for a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. This is why I love the jumps game.
Yeah.
You look at
throw this
race,
one in.
Yeah, we've got a grade two on Tuesday with a potential Gold Cup horse.
Unbelievable.
You've got the same similar kind of story on Monday. We've got a very good race at Kempton. It's just and you get the same horses coming back. You know where you stand with them. You're not looking at maidens. The good ones haven't gone off to stud.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to this on Tuesday, and we should probably start with Q Card.
Yeah, I would have thought so. We've got a betting already on this one. Obviously, check the price on the website. Balder Success is the favourite, but Q Card 7-2, joint second favourite with Hinterland. And then Summersby 9-2, God's Own 11-2. Then you jump up to Pepite Rose at 12-1, and Oscar Hill 33-1. Q Card, then, as you said, first of all, hasn't been outside the top three in any of its last six. Expect it to do much the same.
Yeah,
a jockey change though. Interesting to see how the jockey gets on.
Yeah, well, Jyoti's had retired, that's why, and Daryl Jacob now rides Q Card this season. He's got very, very high class form. If you look to last season, he won the Betfair Chase. He finished second in the King George. Very, very good form, and it's kind of form that you'd look to a Gold Cup prospect. Won this race back in 2012. Only third in this race last year. And he has to defy top weight here. But the difference between this year and last year is he's supposed to be fitting well this time round. And he's a much more attractive price. I think he was about even money for this race last year.
Okay.
Whereas you're getting 7-2 about him. And even if he's not quite at his best, he'd still be somewhere involved in this race. So Q Card, in terms of value, you're getting 7-2 about a potential Gold Cup horse in a Grade 2. You've got to be interested in Q Card. Summersby won this race last year. He's £9 higher than last year's success. The yard are in good form. Mick Shannon's horses on both the flat and over jumps have been in pretty good nick. And he improved very, very much last season. He finished second in the Champion Chase. So the trip will probably suit him miles better than it will Q Card. That would be my concern about Q Card. Balder Succès, market leader at the moment. Not necessarily sure he should be. He was a good novice last year. But I don't think the novices were that cracking, if I'm too honest. I don't think the division as a whole was the strongest last year. And coming up against Q Card is and Summersby and the like, who are proven top-class performers, Balder Succès has got to step up markedly this season as a second-season chaser. And the fact that he finished behind God's Own at Punchestown in the Ryanair Novices Chase there, that was a bit of a surprise result. God's Own was 25-1 on the day, but he does have that form to reverse. So if you like Balder Succès, I think God's Own might be a big price if you're looking at it that way. I hope Q Card wins.
It's not how it works.
The
thing
yeah.
is, though, this race is obviously we're talking about betting. This race would be a race that a lot of people just watch out of pure interest. Mm. People have a bet on it, obviously, as well. But so much can come out of this race. It's going to be fascinating to see how Q Card goes this time round. Obviously being teed up for Cheltenham. I was just looking back at the form over the past few years when the first race, if you like. You mentioned one in 2012, only third last year, and that was its first race, of course, in this race.
Mm-hmm.
Can you cast your mind back to what the field was like in that one? I mean, where is the horse progressed at all since 2013, do you think?
Q Card?
Yeah.
Well, he had problems, actually. He missed back in the last season with injuries.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard...
It's a long time not to race, isn't it?
Yeah. And like I say, he was third on this race on reappearance last year, and had to give away weight. And maybe if he does need the run, then the trip's shorter than ideal. But he does tend to go well pretty fresh. If you look at 2012 when he won this race on reappearance, if you go back to 2011, he won at Chepstow in a novice chase on his reappearance that season. And then if you go back to 2010, he won on his reappearance at Aintree. So he does go well fresh. And my concern is just that he has to give away weight, and he wants further than this nowadays.
Yeah.
So I probably would look at Summersby and think, won this race last year, not insurmountable off £9 higher. Did improve throughout last season. You asked me if Q Card's improved.
Yeah.
Well, Summersby did improve last year. And I'd be looking at one of those two. I'd probably just say with Summersby on the day, but I expect Q Card to improve into a very likely contest. I mean, he's favourite for the Gold Cup, isn't he? At the moment, 8-1 market leader.
Yeah.
So, I must admit, I've never really been fully convinced by Q Card as a Gold Cup horse. I do like him, and whilst I want him to win, he's got to prove to me that he can become a Gold Cup horse. I don't know if the triple suit. I'm not sure he'll stay strongly enough over 3.25 miles up that hill, personally. But interesting to see him back out anyway. One of the big guns of the game back in action. So yeah, looking forward to the race. I'm going to start with Summersby on Tuesday.
Well, let's hope Q Card and Connections go quite some way to convincing Mark Walton that
I'm sure that's what they're aiming for.
No, well, I'm sure. Listen to, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
3:15 at Exeter. From well, it's not quite the same level of race, the Smith and Williamson Handicap Chase, but money to be earned. You're comparing $8,000 for the winner to this race to a whopping £36,000 for the race we've just discussed. But it's going to be won. What are you looking in this one, Mark? It is like the, I suppose, from the sublime to ridiculous in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't ask me why I picked this race.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I wasn't going to. Solstice Sun, though. I mean, you look at the form. If we're looking at form, pure form, excellent form. Not out of the three for quite a while. This horse, which probably got the best form figures going into it, I guess. Ridley as well, also decent nick.
Yeah, Solstice Sun hasn't run in a race of this nature. That's my only concern with it. He has been running well, but they're in class four and class five events. This is a class three, so it's. He's got to improve again, basically. Yep. And his runner-up effort last time behind Come On Ginger, he needs to improve on that for me. The yard are in okay form as well, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him involved. I do think he needs to improve a little bit to win the race, though. Starting with Ziga Boy, who's interesting because he's had two starts for the yard. Alan King's yard have started the season in flying form, and he was beaten favourite last time at Newbury. Finished behind Dr. Foxtrot by 3.5 lengths. I mean, that form's okay. That form's entitles him to be involved here quite strongly. And the fact that he's only had two starts for the yard, he's likely to improve. He's on a workable mark of 119. I mean, you look at the horses that he finished behind last time. A mark of 119 suggests that he should be able to do okay off this mark. I mean, Samant Blur, who finished second in that race, is rated 125, so he's probably got a few pounds in hand of the handicapper if he improves, and he's down there on bottom weight, 11 stone 3. I think Ziga Boy is interesting. Just looking at one or two others, Gasline Boy won this race last year, but he's got a nasty pattern of putting letters next to his name rather than numbers of late. He unseated on his final start last season and was pulled up on debut, and that's a little bit of a concern because he does go well fresh, and he won this race on reappearance last year, so the fact that he pulled up this time round maybe just suggests that not all is well, or it could suggest that he just needed the outing this year and he could be miles better for it this time round. Like I said, it's a tricky race. I started looking at some potential big odds. Bobcat Billy won on his reappearance last year, so you know he's going to go well fresh. Didn't do so this year, but will come on for the run. Beaten on reappearance at Cheltenham. McCoy was on board last time he won, which was at Haydock. So the booking of AP McCoy is interesting, and I think Bobcat Billy can be involved. And Ben Bain Head was another one off the mark of 123 at Foss last season. Second in a Potemps qualifier at Cheltenham. That form would entitle him to go very close here. He's off a mark of 125, which shouldn't be insurmountable, although he fell last time, actually. I'm not necessarily keen on backing horses on the back of a fall. I think it dents the confidence a little bit.
Yeah.
So that would maybe put me off. Depends what price is. So I would probably have a couple of each-way nibbles on Bobcat Billy and Ben Bainhead and just play a couple against the field. And what is, I think, a tricky race.
It's hard to... The AP McCoy factor is interesting, isn't it? Right, twice won, twice with AP McCoy on its back.
Yeah.
Obviously, AP McCoy, a little bit... not quite maybe at his full pelt at the minute, but should give it a really good go. It looks like a nice each-way bet, that one, Bobcat Billy. Mm-hmm. I might be tempted into a rare racing bet.
Yeah, and I also mentioned you're going to have a racing bet for the...
Only on your say-so.
Yeah? Oh, well, I feel...
I think I might have a racing bet every time I'm allowed to come on the racing podcast. For once every 5 years.
Saying that, I mentioned Setlist earlier on. I thought Setlist had a pretty good chance in one of the earlier races. Well, that race behind T42 at Kempton, Bobcat Billy finished further back in that race. Mm-hmm. So if I think that form's okay for the early race, I kind of got to stick with it.
Yeah.
I think Bobcat Billy might be okay at an each-way price. That'd probably be my number one choice with the champ on board.
Yeah, indeed. Why not? As good a person as any to trust your money to. Mark, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Don't forget, William Hill Racing Radio on air from 12:20 on Tuesday, UK time. Stuart Beasley, Roy DeLaghi and Gareth Topham are bringing you the races, the tips and the commentaries throughout the afternoon. So make sure you're with us. Of course, thank you for downloading the podcast. You can get it at the races website, which is, the web address is
www.attheraces.com.
They've done very well there. Yeah. Putting the name of the website.
Helpful,
in the,
isn't it?
It's good. Williamhill.com.
But if you scroll down to the right-hand side, by the way, the podcasts are just there. You'll be able to
have a good look round. You'll find it eventually. Audioboom.com. is where all of William Hill's podcasts live, and you can also, of course, download the podcast on the racing pages of williamhill.com. Thanks to Mark once again. Thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast, and if you haven't bet on any of the racing coming up, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.